I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received. I handed on to you as of first importance. What's of first importance to you? Faith? Family? Friends? Fortune? Fun? Food? I like fajitas. Football? The Church of the Holy Touchdown? Too bad golf, internet, and video games don't start with F in it. That would work great. Whatever is of first importance is that which has preeminence, is front and center, has the greatest import of time and energy and attention from you to it. Think about that for a moment. What is of greatest importance to you? What's of greatest importance in your life, in your family, in your relationships? What's of greatest importance? That's where you put your focus, your time, your attention, your energy. That's where you are, usually. Usually you can tell what's of first importance by looking at where you spend your time, what you spend your time thinking about and doing, and where you spend your money. That's usually how you can identify what's your priority or your principal importance in your life. It's also true about things that you learn. What's of first importance when crossing the street? You look both ways. If you don't, what happens? Yeah. How about when you're trying to do a complicated task? Ladies, answer this one, ladies, please. What if you're trying to get somewhere? What's the most important, first important thing that you do? Get directions.
Why?
That came from a man. Why? Yeah, it's more fun if you search it out on your own. Yeah, you get that bicycle, you start putting it together. It's Christmas Eve night, it's Christmas morning, 4 o'clock, and you get it finished and you got 3 parts left over. I wonder what happened. You didn't read the directions, did you? Trying to get someplace or build something, the most important thing Mother taught me, and she was right, is to get directions. Read the directions. Pay attention to the directions. Follow the directions. At sea, they tell you that what's of first importance at sea to keep from getting seasick is what? Okay, I heard several answers there. One of you. Eat. Yes, have something on your stomach. Oh, well, I'm just going to throw it up. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. What's the next in first importance? Look for the horizon. My mother said, but Greg, it's moving too. It's all wavy. What's another of first important things that you can do? Get out and get fresh air. Get the fresh air. Get it into your lungs and into your system. Be moving while the ship is moving. We had 37-foot seas going to Hawaii. I seem to pick them where we have the heavy seas, but this was 10 feet less than Antarctica. And on this cruise with 37-foot seas, the ship is going forward and back, port and starboard, up and down. That's called the corkscrew effect, friends. And there's not a single drug anywhere in the world that will stop you from getting nauseated when the ship is doing this all day and all night for 72 hours. Even the captain was looking a little green when I saw him at a reception one evening. It was getting to be a bit much. And Mother was sitting in her cabin watching the television and looking outside from time to time and wondering why she was getting seasick. So I dragged her out and dragged her up, and we got her some air out on the outside decks, and she got to feeling better. So I says, now you need to get something on your stomach. Some crackers, some bread, a little cheese, not much more than that, maybe some soup, not much more than that, just enough to get some weight in your stomach. So we go down to the Lido and get in line, standing there as the ship is moving one way and then the other. And the lady in front of Mom decides to, yes, into the salad bowl, by the way. It was a sad sight to see. So a first importance when you're at sea in heavy seas is don't stay in your room. Get out, get around, get something on your stomach, avoid the people who are blowing chunk, and get outside and get some air. And take your drugs too, by the way. That's also a really good thing. You know, the only thing better than meclizine for me in heavy seas is booze, and so I took the meclizine and I was much better. Anyway, a first importance. What's a first importance? Look both ways. Follow directions. Pay attention to those who know how to handle situations. Follow advice. A first importance is to listen. Pay attention. What did Paul say about what's of first importance in the Christian life? I handed on to you what was of first importance that I in turn had received. It's not something he makes up, friends. This is what he got early on. That Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. That he was buried. That he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. And that he appeared to Cephas, that's Peter. Then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom, when he was writing this in the 50s, are still alive, though some have died. Then he appeared to James, the brother of the Lord, who was not a disciple during Jesus' life. Then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. Paul includes himself in the list of those who have post-resurrection experiences of Jesus. It's an interesting list. Jesus appeared to individuals like Mary Magdalene, the first person to proclaim the resurrection, Mary Magdalene. He also appeared to his own mother and the other women. He appeared to disciples individually and in groups, in public and in private. He appeared to over 500 disciples at one point, together. And Paul, writing in the 50s, 20 years later, says, some are dead, but most are still alive. Who saw this? You can ask them about it. Of first importance, therefore, is the message of the death of Jesus for our sins, his burial and his resurrection, and his appearances, his continued presence with us. In other words, what's most important in the Christian faith is not the do-dos and the don't-dos. It's not the church boards and structures and agencies. It's not paying apportionments. Sorry, Bishop. It's not all the junk of church. It's not all the stuff of religion. It's not vestments. It's not pews or chairs or organs or boards or budgets. It's simply about the real presence of Jesus. What Jesus did for us, dying in our place, and about his continued presence with us. A real presence that the disciples knew, experienced, saw, and even touched. Thomas said, I won't believe it until I put my fingers in the holes, in his side, and in his hands. Of course, when Jesus then appears and stands there for the test, Thomas doesn't actually have to do it. He simply goes to his knees and says, my Lord and my God. It was his presence with them, the breaking of the bread in their presence, the eating and laughing with them as he did in life. Jesus' continued real presence with the family of faith. It is the message of what he does for us and his presence with us that is of first importance in the Christian life because of what that message teaches us. It firstly teaches us that we have nothing to fear from God. God sent Jesus to take our place, to take the penalty we deserve for our sin. He died for us. So we have nothing to fear from God. For the perfect sacrifice was made in Christ. And secondly, we're not alone because Jesus is with us. Just as Jesus was present with the disciples in the post-resurrection experiences all the way through to Paul 3 years later, so also Jesus is with us. But Greg, that happened in 33 AD when Paul was knocked off his donkey and had the visions of Jesus. How can he still be present with us today in 2010 AD? Well, Jesus is present in many ways, often in unexpected ways. I'll give you two examples from my latest trip. Standing in line in the Lido, ship rocking backwards and forwards, fore and aft, up and down, people getting seasick, lady blowing chunk into bowl. And once that happened, five Indonesian Muslim stewards come running from all over the place to help her, and others who were made ill at the sight, to take care of them. And while it's their job to clean up messes, the compassion in their action spoke volumes to me of the love of God. Yes, even in Indonesian Muslims. Another example. Now we all know that oftentimes, go through a phase between ages 15 and 21 in which they know everything and you know nothing. Y'all know about that. Well, there was a 16-year-old girl on this cruise who was the world's best authority on absolutely everything in her own opinion. And was driving everybody aboard ship crazy, absolutely bonkers. We were on a shore excursion in Kauai. We were going up to the Waimea Canyon. By the way, that's absolutely glorious. Go if you can. And we're on our way up there, and she's in the back of the bus giving a running commentary on where our tour guide was wrong on absolutely everything the tour guide was saying. We get up to the canyon, and she buffaloes her way up the aisle to get out first. And she's ahead of us as we're going up the walkway to the lookout. And for some reason, some engineers, I guess they didn't think that children would be going there, because there were some even smaller children on the bus with us, including one little toddler. And the toddler was ahead of me with her mother, and the railing, unfortunately, wasn't tall enough to keep the toddler in, and he jumped off the path and sort of darted towards the edge of the cliff and the precipice beneath. Little Miss Know-It-All jumps over the railing and snatches the child before the child gets into danger. From the most unexpected places, you can see and experience God's love, the presence of God. Here's someone who, for all of our experience for the last 8 days, cared only about her own opinions, showing that she cared about somebody else, even at her own risk. The disciples had the experience of being with and eating with Jesus and touching him. What about us today? How can we know and experience and touch the presence of Jesus? After all, where is he? We can know, experience the presence of Jesus in our brothers and sisters. Reach out and take the hand of the person sitting next to you. Come on, do it right now. Take their hand. I usually do this Easter. I'm going to do it today. Take their hand. If it's your sister or brother, I don't care. Take it. Mother, father, husband, wife. Yeah, you better take the hand. All right. All right. Got a hold? Got a hold of some flesh? Now guess what? You're holding on to part of the body of Christ. You're touching the real presence of Jesus in your midst. We are called to be the hands and the feet and the eyes and the ears and lips of Christ, the body of Christ in a broken and hurting world. You're touching the body of Christ. When you come to the table of the Lord today, and you kneel at the table and receive the bread, you are touching a bit of the mysteriously incarnate body of Christ, the real presence of Jesus. The first, most important proclamation of the church was that Jesus died for the sins of the world, and Jesus is here right now. We have experienced Him, and you can experience Him too. You never need to fear God, and you are never alone, for Christ is with you. We are called as the church to express the love of God, the acceptance of God, and the real presence of God to a broken and hurting world, to every person we meet outside these doors, to every person we meet in here. We are called to reach out with faith and touch Christ and share the love of Christ with all. That's of first importance. Not boards, not committees, not budgets, not denominations, not doctrines, not even creeds. The simple message: we have nothing to fear from God, for Christ took it all, and we are not alone. Christ is with us, and we are called to share Christ in words and deeds of compassion with all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of St. Stephen United Methodist Church and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2010 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal. All rights reserved. For more information or to listen to other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at St. Stephen United Methodist Church, 2520 Oates Drive, Mesquite, Texas, 75150. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.